journey. So we started out a little small, and we grew. We must have tripled our size, I would say. And I haven't seen Dave and Lewis in person in a year, so it's really great to not see them on a screen. And I don't really think that, I've never thought that before about people. So it's a feeling of being whole again. So I have been uncomfortable. I've been challenged, and I have been, so I can say a lot of things that could make you uncomfortable or make you mad or make you whatever, but just to be bluntly honest, I've been in pain a lot this last year, figuring out what it's like to be my husband and what it's like for me not to be able to take off my skin color, or I get to take it off, he doesn't. And what it's like for my kids every day, what it's like for my mentors every day, what it's like for people who Paul's grandparents every day, who grew up in a world that is not what I would call acceptable. And so over the last year, we've really had to relearn history, because what history we've known, what history I was taught in school, what history you were taught in school, was only portrayed as one side. You only heard one side of history. You were not told the other half. And we can go down, and we can go all the way back to 1619. I don't know why I want to flip that around. I'm sorry. 1619. And we can go back to when the first slaves came to America. And we can relearn every part of history and history in our church. And it's shameful, and it's a disgrace. And so what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? What are we going to be about? I think Brett gave an example of his grandma's church, where they had holes in the floor, or what was it, grates? Vents in the floor, so that the black people could be at the bottom of the church and the white people could be at the top. We could go back to where they used baptism as a way to control people, as a way to keep slavery. I don't want to say what it was. It's the Virginia,
I can't remember the title of it.
I can't either.
Yeah, Virginia.
The first constitutional release, whatever. I told Paul to bring the book, and then he did. And I was like, we go back to there, and they said, even if you are baptized, you're not free. Mm-hmm. And so our God has been used against people to keep them down, to keep them oppressed, and to keep them not giving a voice. Steve and I had a coworker today that said that they're born into the reality that they have to stay in their place. And when you're not free, truly free, when you're in Christ, where can you be free? And I have been on this journey, and I don't expect everyone to be at the same place. But if you don't get it, please talk to me. I have asked and spoke to anyone who would listen to me in this last year. And I've talked to your good friends, people who used to go to church here, people who I work with. So I talked to Sarah Gentry a lot about, where's her parents? What do they think? Where are they at? And their feedback was just the same feelings as my husband feels. And that is, it's hard. It's hard to continually think day in and day out that you may not have a voice, or we have to worry about Paul walking the dog at night, or we have to worry about this or that. And then when you come to church, it's still not equal, because our history hasn't been taught for us to be equal. So that's one of my points. My other point is, and you can add to this, please, that if we don't see, so our city has been in this uproar for the last 7 years, where we could no longer ignore what happened. So when Michael Brown was murdered, if you don't see him as your brother, then we have a bigger problem. 2 years ago, we could no longer ignore what we saw because it happened in front of us with George Floyd, and there are hundreds of in between. And so our city and our towns and our communities and our schools, everyone's looking for answers. And the only true answer that we can ever have is Jesus. And if we don't see the heart of this issue, it's exhausting. And I don't know how people keep talking. I don't know how people continue this walk. Because I expect change. I expect things to happen. And that's hard. When we were talking about Michael Brown today, what was your thoughts, Paul?
Well, the statement you said that if you don't see Michael Brown as your brother, then that's a problem. And I added to that, I said, if you don't see Michael Brown as your brother, but you see Darren Wilson as your brother, then that's the problem. I think that in that, not staying on this situation, you don't have to agree with however things are for someone not to be your brother. And it's just the empathy that's there. Also, with Jesus being our example, he was the, we use the word diversity, and I understand why we use it in one form. In another form, I don't like the word because Jesus was the main diversity person. And so, you know, Old Testament Jewish was God's people. Jesus came, everybody is God's people. So we focus on Jesus and not allow the world, you know, we're in the world, not of the world, but not have the world come into the body to change and control certain aspects. So.
Right. I think one other thing that, you know, Jeff's been working on this piece of paper for a year and a half also. This didn't just come up this week. And we've also all been praying about it and praying for people to see it and to understand it. And I know you guys just got it last week, so we do expect some time to mull it over. But I am speaking for myself, but what I would like to see happen, and some suggestions, that every suggestion that Jeff's made, I agree 100%. You know, I'd like to see a committee that looks both inward and outward. What are we currently doing? You know, our website says that we're multiracial. What are we doing to support that? And that's the bottom line. And I agree with that mission, and I want that to continue. And I don't think we have to recreate the wheel. I think we can do what we're doing, but do it better. I don't know if you guys have educated yourself on what Juneteenth means, but it is a this holiday is important as the 4th of July, that we are all coming to understand. It's not something that is taught. Once again, it's not something that your version and mine are the same, but it is something to look into. It's something to educate yourself on. And if you don't like to read, I have stuff for you to watch. And if you don't like to watch, I have stuff for you to read. I have conversations. I can start with any topic of interest and show you how to get to where we are today. You can go music, you can go farming, you can go automobiles, you can go to the finance industry, you can go anywhere you want and get to the place that we're at. And not saying I know everything, I'm just saying I'm willing to walk with you. So we do agree with everything. I do think we should I know everyone in here probably loves a good committee, but but I want a committee that looks inward and outward, and that is here just to have a different lens on things. Making sure that when we invite people that of color to our church, that they see someone who looks like them, greeting them, who sees like them in their kids' classes, who sees someone like them on the stage, who sees like someone like them in the leadership. I think that's so valid and so important. Carrie has some ideas, and she's going to share with you some signs she found, and take it away, sister.
Well, if you know me at all, I've never been at a loss for words, but I have been during this process. At work, I've always told myself, if it can't be measured, it can't be managed. Well, the same thing is true, that if you don't acknowledge the hurt people in your church have, you aren't going to address it or fix it. Now, I have historically served brothers and sisters that are upset about a certain thing or depressed about something, but yet, I remember years ago, Joyce telling me that making the comment that church is the only place she felt really safe, it was a relief for her to come to church on Sundays. And I did nothing to dig into that comment. Like, Joyce, what do you mean? And I had an opportunity and I passed it up. You know, in my own ignorance, I thought, well, that's kind of interesting, but I moved on. And it wasn't fair to her for certain. I feel like there's a lot of things we do. Like the food pantry, I think the food pantry is a great ministry. Vacation Bible School, preschool. I guess I've always got the impression that a lot of kids that are there are our own kids. And so how can we get a little further out in the community and get some other people to come here? Because our own kids already have Sunday school classes here and things like that. And but it should be known that I did not want to do the Color Compromise book. I hate history. I did not do well in high school with it. I didn't even listen properly.
That's good. You were a better start than the rest of us.
I just, you know, we go to museums and he wants to read every sign. I'm like, got the gist, let's go. So do know that I did not want to take this class. But I took it because Brett wanted to. Well, it changed my perspective. It motivated me to reach out to the underserved in the world. I made some phone calls to the International Institute. Where are some places that I could, you know, volunteer and make a difference? And whether that's people of color, whether that's refugees, we have, you know, 1,000 Afghan refugees that they're coming in. We've got Bosnian refugees in certain communities. And there's probably some in our own community here. We just don't know. I don't know where they're at. I mean, I saw a whole bunch of what looked like Afghanistan people on the front porches of their houses in Maplewood. So I'd have to do some research on where are these people that we would want to try to get invited to come in here and hear about it. But when I looked at it, I was like, wait, everything I'm learning is basically telling me just to be a Christian. You know, and so that was a real big revelation. And so I thought, well, what can I do to help? So I picked out some signs, and I thought, you can have a sign made that says anything. And there's some that are pre-made, which are these two. There's others, but maybe we just do some things out in our street that say to the world, we are all in this together. Like, that's a true statement. We're all in this together. This one did not get a resounding vote of applause, but now that I look at it, I like it better because it says, no matter where you are from, where you're from, we're glad you're our neighbor. Well, first I was like, ooh, well, they think that, first of all, do we really know what this says? That was a big concern for me.
We should probably look into that.
Yeah, probably. Don't go here. You know?
It's like, run fast.
And that's when we were talking about how maybe if we have a sign like this, they think that we have people here that can speak to them in their language. But when I went back, I was like, no, it's just saying, we're glad you're our neighbor. Mm-hmm. It's not saying, come to our church, because we have Arabic people here that can talk to you, or Spanish people, you know. It's really just, if you're our neighbor, we care about you. So, and there's lots of other really cool signs you can get made, bigger, smaller, things like that. Let's see.
And I think, Carrie, I think your point, even on the signs, and I think it was kind of the sense of the group, is that while it's not something we've ever really done, so it feels strange, and we certainly didn't want to go do this without having a conversation, and we certainly don't want to have a long conversation about it. That's not a political statement.
No.
That's Jesus' statement.
Yes.
So if we can make a statement that Jesus can agree with, that gets the attention of our community, then why wouldn't we want to do that?
I did forget one sentence I was going to say. We got to the point where we were ready to act and move, but we decided we probably better make sure you guys know what we're wanting to do. This is being respectful. Yeah. This is being respectful. So it is interesting. Like, we want your approval. We want you to come on board and understand why this is so important to us. And if it's a little sign like that, by all means, we think it's important.
I drive by churches all the time. I see different signs. Yeah. Yes. So, and I think, oh, that's nice if they hopefully believe what that sign says.
And our last political season that we've been in has been bruising and
divisive.
Painful and everything in between. And this by no means is political. This is Jesus.
So the other thing that I've been struggling with the last few years, and it's my own fault for not digging in and volunteering. You know, I work full time outside the home, so it's like I couldn't do food pantry during the day, and I couldn't teach a kids at Bible school. And I was like, what is it? Who are we? If we were to close our doors today, who in our community would miss us? Who would say, oh man, I love going with their food pantry? Who would say, I loved it because they would come, and every summer I knew that somebody's going to show up and help us with our yard work. I don't know what it's going to be. But what can the entire congregation work together and do? What can we be known for? I'm not sure what we're known for right now. I haven't asked a lot of people. A lot of people say I didn't even know that was a church on the corner. So, and the bottom line is we've got people who believe there's systemic racism, people that believe there's not. We have people that think we should do more, think we should do less. Y'all have a tough job as elders, and I'm glad I'm not in your seats. And so, you know, we will honor what direction you give us to do. I really don't want to be on committee, but I will be.
Why not?
I know, exactly. But I think it's just, you know, it's more than just our brothers and sisters of color. It's also other people, the poor. You know, I don't spend any time with people that are poor. And I was saying how fun it would be to take our church to Ivy Crockett Park, our outside church park one day. I mean, and just let the neighborhood know, hey, we're having services this morning. If you'd like to join us. Or maybe we do at the lunch there sometime or something. I know we've done that before, but in a nutshell, my heart says something has to change. I'm not articulate enough in this situation to know exactly what it is. So I have to trust that Jeff will do it and Jody will figure it out because I'm overwhelmed. The class was exhausting for me. But I'm glad I did it. I learned a lot about how. You know, I always thought when I looked at I'm intrigued by the Holocaust for some reason when I say I don't like history. But I think, where were all the Christians back then? Were they keeping people and helping them? And then you go back to the time when slavery was legal and we weren't, we weren't hiding. Were the Christians hiding slaves? No, they're saying you can be a Christian, but you can't. I mean, you can be baptized, but you can't be an elder, you can't be a preacher, things like that. And I just think, I don't want that another version of that to come along to us and be like, what did you do or say during that time period? So I'm nervous about it, but I want to do it, whatever that is, and try to make a difference in the community. So, that's it for me.
Brett, what do you have to fill in?
I joined the study because I had...
You love history.
Well, I love history. I also love theology, and the thing that struck me profoundly with this is religion in the United States and history all came together to propagate what was going on with slavery and with Jim Crow. And we fell in line with it. And that is something that is a stain on the United States. I feel very personally responsible for it. And that convicted me. It is something that we need as a nation and as a religious, I feel the Church of Christ was in on it too because I went to my grandparents' Church of Christ and said down in the basement was where the black people were supposed to be and we were in, and it was upstairs where everybody else. It had just ended 5 years before I was born. Okay, that was Jim Crow in the South. What convicted me was that this went on and it's something that we haven't got on our knees and said, God, we're sorry about this. We really messed up what you were trying to get across. And I think that this, I don't know how to make it right. I don't know what my part would be. I do know we need to start where we are, and we need to say, if you are a person, you have a heartbeat, you are a child, you can be a child, you are a child of God, and you come and you can believe with us, and we will accept you because we love you, because that's what Jesus did. And that's just a simple message I want to get across.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. So now y'all need to figure. Y'all can figure it out. We're going home.
We're going to drop the bomb.
We're going to eat the supper of the Jesuits.
So I was a part of that group. The second part, the first part, I was part of the Color Compromise. So I was part of that. And this is not, I'm not trying to insult anybody, anything like that, so I want to make that very clear. But one of the things that struck me the most about this whole journey is that the people that were a part of it was a really diverse group of people, but my white brothers and sisters that were a part of it, I love and respect them all, because most of them, I've been serving with them for years and years and years, and I know their hearts, right? I know their desire, not just in this area, but their desire to want to be where Christ wants them to be, right? And to live that life that Christ wants them to live. And we all struggle with that, but I know that's their bent. But what struck me the most is that how unaware that my white brothers and sisters were about what's been happening right before their eyes. And unless you are really deliberate to really take a journey like this, there are so many institutional blinders that are out there that will not allow you to see what marginalized people go through daily. And you don't realize you perpetuate just by taking your first step out your door and doing what you normally do. You don't even realize that you're doing that until you take time to invest in something like this and see. And I understand if you're struggling with a lot of thoughts right now about where is this going, right? But if you've been where they've been, where they have been, and took the time to go through that whole process, you will understand better about what they were trying to communicate. But I don't want us to discount it in any way. I know we're not doing that, but I think it's very easy to marginalize it a little bit because it may be because your propensity not to really see clearly what's happening and the oppression that's taking place daily and what people who are the recipient of that, what they're dealing with on a daily basis, and how that impacts them in so many different ways, right? Just in how they perceive what's happening, you know, how they perceive what's happening. It can be a very innocent encounter, but because of what the oppression that you go through, you have to look at that particular encounter through a lot of different lenses and say, what has just happened here? You know, and so, and that becomes very, very cumbersome. Becomes very taxing. It's difficult, and so it's a burden. And so, and that's part of the journey. But that's a lot of work we got to do. And I think if we don't commit to doing what Jeff talked about, think about how, you know, interweave in this to everything we do, that we're going to cease to exist at some point, because this is just a critical in my mind. And one of the things that I saw that I think is very powerful when Jones, West, Walker had a picnic at the park, we had an extremely diverse group of people in that park. There were several other African-American family members that joined us. There was age diversity, you know, there was a wealth of diversity. And this man walked through with his daughters. This white male walked through with his daughters, like in his mid-40s. And he was walking through. He just stopped and looked a minute. Then he went on about the business. And then they were playing on the playground behind us. But as we were discussing things, he stopped what he was doing to see what we were talking about when we were welcoming and things like that, and just to see what we were talking about. And then we invited him, why don't you come and have a meal with us? He said, oh, no, I already know you guys are Matt and I crossing, because he had talked with someone. I may come and visit you. And so it's something very powerful about what we're talking that the world don't see anywhere else. And God's kingdom is where they should be able to see that.
Amen.
And I think that's the opportunity that we have ahead of us.
Well, it wasn't until Stephen, when I said, can you give me some specific examples of what it feels like to be you, what you're looking at today? And once they did, then I started looking for it when I was out in the world. I could see it. Mm-hmm. And I think because I am a Christian and I am polite, I'm not a person that did that to other people, but I couldn't tell you how many times there'd be people like at the deli, who's next, and a white man or woman would step forward like they own the joint, and I know that the person of color has been there a lot longer than they have, and I'd be like, I'm pretty sure he was next, you know, but I would never have really noticed that, I don't think, until, and now I see it more and more. Just other examples, it helped to hear it, because it's like, really? Well, now I can see it, so.
And my example has been, I'm not trying to get political, but voting for judges without knowing anything about them.
Yeah.
How many of us have just gone in? Because there's nothing, they're either a good Christian or they're not. And that's all you can find out about them. Maybe Brad knows more, but like how to figure that out, because it's a whole other world. I don't know that world. So I'm like, if you honestly look up a person, you know, what they believe or what they do, you can't find it. So I voted blindly, and that's not what God's called me to do.
And kind of to your point, there's a thousand little steps.
Yes.
But it's a collective work, and it's a collective effort, and becomes a part of the collective consciousness and
yes.
DNA of this church. Right. And it's already started in a lot of areas.